Welcome to The Wheel Reads, a Wheel of Time podcast. Your hosts are Alan, Chris, and Ian. This podcast is safe for first-time readers with no spoilers. This week, we'll be covering chapters 26 and 27 of A Crown of Swords, The Irrevocable Words, and To Be Alone. Enjoy!
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, hey, welcome back to the Wheel Reads. Cheers. I had to get my my beverage ready. Season 7, episode 12.
Cheers.
That's where we are. Yeah, I'm drinking some vino tonight. Got a nice bottle of red wine. It's just a red blend.
I'm doing a Chardonnay.
It has a cool little horse on it. A little shard.
And shards. I had steak tonight. I'm really mixing it up.
Oh, we had Taco Tuesday. So we had tacos. It was delicious. Very, very good.
I actually posted my food on the pot.
Saw that. Did. The crab salmon cake thing.
Yeah, they're keto crab salmon cakes.
That looked yummy.
Yeah.
They were delicious. Absolutely.
Yep.
I never made any form of crab or salmon cake before. So I was like, I want both. And I have ingredients for both. Why not just make it into one?
Yeah.
And it was delicious.
And if you do just strictly salmon cakes, you can get creative with the flavor with them, because crab could be expensive, you know.
Oh, I got it.
Salmon cakes can be really good. There you go.
Yeah. Well, before we get too much further, I got a bunch of announcements I got to run through. So let's go get those started. So we got new patrons.
I'm drinking water, by the way.
Two new patrons. So Woo! Laura and Frank.
Hey, this episode's Laura, for you.
Laura and Frank.
This episode's for you.
Just didn't have a new friend.
This pod's for you.
If you can be a
thank you for your patronage so much, and we love our new patrons and we love our current patrons, so keep it coming. Also, let's see, other things going on this Saturday, the 11th, is that the 11th Saturday?
Yes.
11th, yeah, at 9 p.m. I've not made the stream for it yet, so keep the lookout for it. We're gonna be back with another Watt of Fortune. We're gonna have all three of the Talker Ron Riad co-hosts on, so Joe, Jin, and Tom are going to be on for some fun Watt of Fortune, so look forward to that. That'll be Saturday night at 9-ish Eastern time. Other news, in case you didn't see, this is kind of shifting gears a little bit. Our original fan, our OF, not only fan but original fan, Zool, really needs help, guys. So in case you're not on Twitter or on our Discord and haven't heard, she's been on this podcast before. Zool was our original moderator, that helped us out to really when we got started from day one.
Yeah,
she found us very early on. She's been on our episode a few times. On the second,
we do is because of her.
Yeah, I know. We try to pronounce things right because of her.
She's been a big part of this.
So on the second, so 5 days ago, her house was hit by a tornado in the part of Texas that she lives in, and it ripped the roof off of their house and did some other damage. So there is a GoFundMe out there. If you join our Discord, there's a link in the announcements to help fund to help pay for that roof. The insurance company is supposed to be coming out and doing the adjuster thing, but if you know how insurance companies are, when this happens, it helps. Even just to float you by until they can hem and haw and pay some money. So sure.
Especially if there's a lot of damage in the area and nothing moves fast.
There's a GoFundMe out there to help Zool get a new roof, and there's going to be actually a charity stream as well next Tuesday. I think it's going to be a little bit after we record on the Way the Leafs YouTube. So if you don't follow the Way to Leaf, go follow them, because he's going to do a charity stream with Twatcast. I am going to make an appearance on that as well after we're done with this recording next Tuesday. So yeah, I'll be there too. But yeah, we're doing a little charity stream to raise some more money for Zool. Yep. So yeah, help out our own.
We love you, Zool.
We do. I don't know if she's watching tonight.
She'll listen at some point.
She is.
And she'll hear us say that we love her.
And we
can't go wrong with that.
Yeah. Other news, JordanCon, I ordered ribbons so we can hand out ribbons for
ribbons! Not so special.
I also went online again and tried to buy Ian a ticket, and it didn't let me again. So I sent them I just sent him an email like, dude, your website's screwed up.
Promise you, I've tried a couple times.
Like the first time was like already used. I was like, okay. And then I tried again with a different email address. It's like forbidden. I was like, are we banned from JordanCon? I mean, I would be surprised.
Right.
But
possums and all.
Give me a chance to change my identity.
Forbidden. So I sent him an email. So we'll see what's happening with JordanCon. Nonetheless, we got a hotel room. So you'll be there.
I will be there.
Yeah.
Whether or not you're in the con or just in the hotel running around causing mischief, we'll see. But yeah,
that would be more fun if we're being honest.
Yeah, honestly, I do.
That's why I spend 90% of my time.
90% of my time is not in the con; it's in the lobby of the hotel. So yeah, let's see what else. I think that's all for my announcements. Anything else I can think of? No. Okay. So personal life. This weekend, my wife's going away for a conference, so I have the kids all weekend long. It's just single dad life for the entire weekend. Chris might come visit me on Saturday, on Friday, and help out / just drink when the kids are in bed. But we'll see. So that's what I look forward to this weekend. It's just doing that. And then as far as last weekend, I don't think we did anything. I can't think of what we did. You know, like when you did nothing. I went to Lowe's. I did do that. I installed some new blinds.
Hey,
Bed Bath and Beyond. I guess they're out of business now. Home Depot. I don't know if it's time.
Watch out for that Beyond section.
It's pretty boring weekend. Just did some stuff like that. There's the marathon. We had the city marathon was this weekend. The One City Marathon in Newport News. So I went and watched my brother ran it.
He's back into it. He got back to running.
Oh yeah, he's run like 4 marathons this year.
That's awesome. So he didn't let it slow him down. He just learned from it, kept going.
Yeah, after last year getting the hospital. Yeah, no, he learned from it, and then he did the Richmond Marathon. He did the Disney Marathon.
That's cool.
And then I think this is the then this one again. So he did 3 this year.
I had it on my bucket list to run a marathon, but wow, I don't know if that's gonna happen. We'll see how physical therapy goes.
Yeah. He made it just fine. He now runs. I mean, if you run 3 marathons in a year, you kind of know what you're doing.
Right. Once you get to that level of conditioning, it's a little bit easier to maintain. But starting from where I'm at and getting there, we'll see.
Yeah,
maybe.
So, other than that, my life is completely turned upside down and slammed because work and life is busy. So, but yeah. Eventually we'll get back to reading the Cosmere and we can go back to recording those. And we'll have
I'm on chapter 4 and it's starting to I'm starting to be able to follow it. The first few chapters,
it's a phenomenal.
I re-listened to the first few chapters like 3 times trying to figure out what's going on. And then I just said, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to keep going and maybe it'll make sense. But I don't know. Maybe I was getting easily distracted. I wasn't able to keep track of who was who.
Okay.
Yeah. It was interesting. I didn't really know what was happening.
Yeah. Sounds good. Well, personal life. What's going on with you guys?
I'll be quick. A10 tournament, New York City this weekend coming up. I'm going to watch VCU play on Saturday. Now that's assuming they win on Thursday. I can't make it up there for the Thursday game, but they should win on Thursday, hands down. We're going to go for the cheap general admission, but got the green light to take River with me. He's super excited about it. So we got like a couple rows back, center court.
Nice.
Paid the big bucks.
Who are they playing Thursday?
Thursday. So they have a bye or a couple of byes. So they play the winner of something else. So not determined yet. So they,
As long as
the regular,
as long
as
long
as not champs.
As long as they're not UMBC.
No.
Because they beat UVA, number one seed.
It's like Saint. Is UMBC A10? I don't remember anymore.
UMBC. I don't know. UMBC always won the sailing regattas, at least the parties.
Right. They were the ones who found speakers that attach to the sail and turn your sail into a speaker and would listen to music.
Right.
That was fantastic.
Hungover and puke intact. Yeah. It was, they're a good team.
They were inspirational.
They were inspirational.
Yep. Yeah. So. And this is River's first time in New York City. We're not going to go too crazy because we only have 2 days there. We'll do the game Saturday. If they win, we'll also do the game Sunday. And we'll do one Broadway play in there. And instead of going like big expensive, like foodie places, we're going to do like the street food and the slices of pizza and
okay,
that sort of thing. So
there's a restaurant that we went to that wasn't pricey down in the village, in Greenwich Village, last time I went. But I can't remember the name of it now. I've asked my wife because I don't remember anything.
Yeah, if you think of it, shoot it to me. Like, it wasn't
too expensive.
Going for a fancy sit down, you know.
It wasn't that bad.
Yeah. We just want to experience that local chow. And
are you can hit up Joe, all the Talk Around Regatta guys. They live in Staten Island.
Well, I don't know if we're good. If they want to train into the city, I don't know.
They work
if
in the city.
Time to head up there. Oh yeah. Oh shit. Yeah, we might get together.
Yeah. Anyway,
so excited about that. Oh, and I don't even know how much of this I shared, but officially filed a complaint with the Department of Labor with how they onboarded me with this job after my deployment because they jacked so much stuff up. Mm-hmm. And the person from Department of Labor is already like, all right, I've been back and forth with the HR there a few times. It's very clear that they're doing a bunch of CYA, like on the things that they took too long to do. Mm-hmm. And he can't or she can't advise them. So it's like the longer they take to fix it, like the more they're going to owe me. So pretty confident at some point I'm going to get 2 months worth of pay plus interest, plus the reserve differential I was supposed to be getting since April from April to November was like $1,000 a month. So they owe me that plus interest. And then
drinks on Ian and Jordan.
Right. Khan. Yeah, for real. Yeah. All I'm kidding.
Right. Now let's take the adult approach. Since Ian has been getting $1,000 less per month since April, Ian owes a lot of creditors money in late payments.
Yeah.
So yes, it'll be great when I get it all. I'll log on and look at the bank account and go, ooh, look at that comma. And then it'll be gone the next day. Yeah, I don't get to pull that.
I'm in the military. Y'all can't charge me interest.
Well, you could reduce the rate, but
yeah.
Anyways, I don't even want to go down that rabbit hole. It's been such a cluster F. I mean, I'm used to like working in the government. You always run into people that just aren't great at their job. But like, I appreciate the ones that when you find the F up and you send them the regulations and the policy that I'm like downloading off the OPM site and be like, this is what you're supposed to do. This is what you did. Like, normally people go, oh my gosh, I didn't know. Let's fix it. But these people aren't. They're just like, nope, we didn't do nothing wrong. And I'm like, it's like literally there's laws about bringing reservists back after deployments. Like you have certain things you have to do in a certain time frame.
If you don't like your job, it's a prime opportunity just to lie on your resume and like get like an amazing job. I mean,
it's funny you say that.
So, I mean, like, I mean, I know I'm going to say this.
I've been thinking about it.
So like, you know, like when Circuit City went out of business, you guys remember Circuit City? Is basically Best Buy. Like when Circuit City went out of business, there was like a whole scam, entire industry of people that would go out and apply for jobs and put on their resume that they were the director of ads for Circuit City. There's an HR department for them to check on that to make sure they're actually real or not.
That's right.
So it was a scam that worked great during that. Well, we're living in another age where there's another giant company that you can do that with, because there was someone the other day that tweeted on Twitter saying like, hey, I work for Twitter, but I haven't received a paycheck in a couple of weeks. And Elon Musk responded with like, yeah, you're fired because you weren't doing any work, which means Twitter doesn't have an HR department, which means you can say whatever the hell you want, because you were director of all whatever Twitter and lost your job.
That's perfect.
A nice high paying job. No one's going to check that.
No one's going to know. No one's going to know.
They're going to answer any verifications. There's no one there.
Meanwhile, I get a position as like some senior executive of some cybersecurity thing, and like 2 days all of our defenses shut down because I downloaded a Tetris game and like destroyed all of our firewalls and I was just playing Pong.
I just worked for Twitter. I was director of finance for Twitter for 5 years. Try to verify that.
Good luck. By that I mean I sent my OnlyFans links to a bunch of people on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I directed their finances to my bank account. All right. Well, I said I was gonna be short, and I just took way too long.
I don't know what we're doing anymore. I don't even know.
Talk about your personal life, Chris. What's going on with you?
My personal life. Oh, I saw Creed 3 this weekend.
Was it good? It's on my radar, but I haven't.
There were like those cheesy moments when they were fighting, where it was like, this could have been better, but then there were some really freaking awesome moments when they were fighting where I was like, this couldn't be any better. So it kind of leveled out to being a really, really good movie. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Cool.
I'm down for watching a movie for select really good scenes. I can handle that.
Yeah. And that is what it was.
As long as there's some good in there, I'll get it. Yeah.
I think Chanel and I finally, so we have a wedding to go to in June. Ooh. And it's in, Connecticut and Mystic. So yeah, so we like,
they have a good nautical museum there.
Do they? See, I know nothing about the place. So like I took off quite a few days to go out there, but then we're like, there's nothing really to do out there, I bet. So we're just gonna go up for the wedding and fly back, and now we're thinking maybe we'll stay another couple of days, but we at least have our hotel and got our rental vehicle situated. And then we also decided we're going to stay in this tiny apartment for another year, maybe two, just to, you know, get ourselves where we want to be before we start looking, because the house costs, housing
market. The Mystic right now, Seaport Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And right up at the street is the Mystic Aquarium. Sorry to interrupt. Yeah. Those are the first two things that pop up. So
yeah,
we're staying in like, I can't remember. We're flying. Providence is where we're flying into, and we're staying in Mystic. So,
okay,
cool.
Take pictures. We want to see it.
Yep,
we will. It'll be fun.
Lots of pictures.
That's it. Our life is very simple right now, which I appreciate. I need simplicity for a little while.
Cool. Yeah, we're trying to plan our big vacation. So we do like a vacation with all our family friends. And we found out, like last year we went on this thing. If you remember, I recorded from a closet when I was
there.
But the house we stayed at last year, we wanted to stay at again, but I guess they got smart. And like now they do only weekly rates. So you can't like do like a 4-night stay. You have to stay for 7 nights, and they up the price like to the point where it's ridiculously expensive. And I'm like, man, we liked your house because it was in the middle of nowhere and it was cheap, like for how much we got. And now it's like not affordable at all. So
I'll let your friends hang out at my house for 4 days.
That's kind of not
$1,000
we're looking for. But thank you.
I have Legos out the wazoo, bro.
Thanks.
Legos.
I think we'll get everybody. We'll go invade like Canada and stay with all.
If anybody wants to come to Charlotte, you know, we have an extra bedroom here.
So my wife's condition, it has to be within a 6-hour drive.
Charlotte's 5.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what you. Well, actually, there are plenty of museums and things around here.
There are. Yeah,
and we're
because like we can't go like to Asheville because Asheville's a little further than 6.
Yeah, that's right at the. That's a little past the edge of that. Yeah. Plus, too many people go there now. That's like what Asheville's like turned into the whole, you know, everybody decided that like they would move to Colorado and like either Colorado Springs or Denver. Mm-hmm. I'm moving to Colorado, man. And then once that got full, they're like, I'm moving to Asheville.
Yeah.
So now there's a whole bunch of, come here's in Asheville, and it's not what it used to be.
It's still fun.
It's still fun, but you got to seek out the locals. You don't want to mingle with.
The hippies.
No,
we get a lot of New Yorkers and people from New Jersey.
I knew a lot of mountain men and women growing up. I knew a lot of people from Cumberland, and I'll tell you what, they were able to be one with nature and the outdoors and not have AC and all this other jazz, and they didn't stink as bad as the hippies that show up. It's almost like some of these folks go out of their way to smell bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like intentionally, I just want to be nasty.
My favorite mountain man. He gets a chapter finally.
Ayo.
Speaking of which, let's get into this with irrevocable words. The first chapter.
It's decent. It's got a couple parts. We can hit the highlights.
With more gays?
Okay. Yeah. I mean. Oh, you were feeling this chapter, Alan? Like, was this big like time this. For you, or was it?
He's like, what?
It's a good chapter. It's a good chapter.
I rate it above average, but barely. I give it like a 5.5 or a 6 out of 10.
If I'm being honest, I actually did like this chapter a lot. I'm not sitting here. I'm only messing with Alan because my favorite chapters afterwards, just because that's my favorite character. So.
Oh yeah,
and now
there's a nice twist in the next chapter too. Yeah. Okay. So more gays. Blah blah blah.
Yeah. So she's lying in bed.
Blah blah blah.
Thinking about Eamon Velda and how he's in charge.
Is that all she's thinking about?
Yeah.
She's like, I'm somebody. I'm hot shit.
I think he's trying to bed her, and she's not
trying to. It almost sounds like she did.
Yeah, it hints to it.
Yeah. See, there's that moment where I was like, "This is very cringy." Dark. You know, I was like, "This is I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Brienne and Lena into the room, and you know. Burgess is afraid that the men knows what's happened between everything that's going on. So yeah, I guess it is. Yeah, this is the part where it kind of doesn't quite reveal, but strongly implies.
Yeah. But so also don't get the feeling like she was totally taken advantage of. I also get the feeling that. Well, I don't know. Okay, so
she's a prisoner.
Right. Yeah. Right. But like it's a maybe a card she played to give herself position, to give herself some opportunity. But then again, people with that personality that don't like the feeling of losing control will pretend that they want it when they don't, so that they have some, like, they can fake and lie to themselves that they're in control.
Mm-hmm.
That's moment, a good. So maybe good, it's that
levered the situation under duress. It's a good way of putting it.
Well, so that's what I was going with at first, but like what just hit me is, in my years as a chaplain assistant, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but I found out, I guess especially in the military community, a lot of the females that came through for counseling and stuff like that. How many? They've gone through like some really effed up, like sexually traumatic events as, you know, children, young adults. Well, even in their careers. Anyways, the numbers are staggering, but not a common theme, but one that came up sometimes is, you know, in talking to us, other people that were aware of the situation didn't give them any sympathy because it came off like they wanted it.
Yeah.
But in talking to us, it, you know, it came out more that, like I was saying, in an effort to still be in control and knowing they weren't in control, they would rather pretend to go along with it than be a victim of it.
Yeah.
And I might be overthinking this, but maybe there's a little bit of that in here too.
Doesn't
I don't know.
Make it right.
I'd have to reread it with that in mind to see if
there's
hints of that. Anyway.
Anyways.
Okay. She's a prisoner. So
get past the cringy part. Talivor enters with Basil Gill, and like when the guys come in, and tells them that it seemed like this large bird thing landing on the South Barracks.
Well, I mean, before we hold on, we're going to take a step back because I don't want to.
I wanted to breeze through.
I know. I said it, and then I was like, "Nah, we're going to give it some." You know, the statement, "You moan like a sheep, Morgaze, Jacan." She said, "Many others have seen far worse. You are alive. None of your bones are broken. Your wits are whole. Endure. Let the past pass and go with your life. You have been so much on edge and that the men walk around here, even Master Gill." So, you know, I think that's why I like not Lenny, but the other woman. Is it Valda? No. Sorry.
Brienne.
Tabor. Brienne is very upfront with Morgaze. She's like, at this point, your level of importance is no more than mine. Yes, you're the queen. And yes, these men literally like kiss the ground that you walk on and treat you as such. But, you know, Lenny treats her like her daughter, and she treats her almost like a sister, or, you know, that nuisance of a friend that can't get over herself. And she's like, you know, it could have been worse. It could have been a lot worse. She's like, and there's a level of disappointment. She's like, you gave up too easy. Like, you're letting this man beat you mentally, and it's upsetting. So, I mean, Moore Gase has lived a life where her every word was literal law. So for her to go from that situation into where what she's in now, you know, she's this cowardice. The outrage welled up in Moore Gase, yet no words came. Her fingers knotted in the sheets. She did not think she could have decided in cold blood to lie to Valda, but she had. She could have lived with it. She thought she could. The amount of fear that these people have instilled in her heart, and how quickly she, you know, apparently how quickly she gave up. It's like she thought she had more gumption herself. And so, because this drives, you know, this future thought, because we have that moment before the guys enter the room where she stands on the balcony and she pretty much like says the oath to give her titles to her daughter.
It's a little bit later, but yes.
Wasn't it before the guys come in?
No, it was later.
No. It's later.
Oh.
So
it's the whole meeting with Asajj with Seroth.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay, well, I'll stop then. We'll get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're saying, Ian?
Well, we could talk about it again when we get there. I feel what you're saying, but that moment of her standing and thinking about jumping, I didn't feel it was a moment of despair. I still feel like it was a decision to not be controlled.
No, and I agree with that. I do agree. Not
let them use her as a pawn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not like a depression. It wasn't a woe is me. It was a I am not going to become a piece that they can move around the board and use me to, you know,
to hurt my daughter and my kingdom. I completely agree with that.
I felt more of that, but okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just in this before moment. So.
Mm-hmm. But how does everything that just happened here not play into that decision? So there's the other side of that.
Yeah. So Alan, what were you saying before I interrupted you?
Oh no, I was talking about the next scene when the guys come in. They say that bird landed on the South Barracks.
Pizzle Gill. I don't know any other way to explain it. It's a bird. They're like, why are you coming in here announcing a freaking bird? He's like, no.
Are you drunk?
Not a bird. A bird.
Thing
or is maybe it was a dragon.
Huge bird. Maybe they were
dragons.
Like five people up on that shit, four of them hop off. Yeah. There's still one flying it around.
And while Lenny's getting dragon. Upset, like, why are you interrupting us about a freaking bird? Moore Gase goes to the window and sees another bird land, and people climb off it. And she's like, it's Shadow Spawn. We're under attack. But how does Shadow Spawn this far down? I've never heard of this kind of Shadow Spawn. Like, but there are things that we never heard of. Like, maybe it's just something for the Blight.
But almost in the same breath, then she recognizes that there's channeling going on.
Right.
And it's like, well, and it talks about how, like, you know, it's female channeling because somebody suggests, oh, maybe it's these, you know, male channelers wearing black sort of thing, the Ashaman. And she's like, no, definitely female channelers. So it's got to be Aes Sedai.
Mm-hmm.
So then they're in this, which also, like, it causes them to hesitate, which I get. Normally, I'm not a fan of hesitation in moments like this, but with the info they have, they're like, okay, it's female Aes Sedai, so they're here to rescue? These are allies? No way to comprehend what's about to
unfold. And they don't know who these people are, but they're riding weird beasts. They come in, they're using the one power, so it's just very confusing to them.
Jakaras.
Talonvor kind of comes with the idea, maybe we should try to escape, and I think it's Lenny who's like, no, like we can't take Moore Gase into battle.
Lenny's like my spirit animal.
We're in the Fortress of Light. Like, we're in a fortress. We're fine here.
I mean, hindsight, though, that would have been the perfect time in the chaos.
It would have been,
to dip. But I'm not mad about it because they had some really sound reasoning.
Not to leave.
Not to.
They're in a giant fortress. They should be fine until the door opens up. And it's definitely the people just attacked. We already took the whole city.
I did have a question. So we know that they walk in with people in IDOMs, right?
Yes.
Now, how does the IDOM, or does the IDOM supersede the oath?
Oh, if I mean, I would say it has to.
Like, not being, you're not allowed to use the power to channel it, to use it as a weapon.
But it's the handler's will, and it's the handler's intent.
Yeah.
They're being used more like a puppet. At least that's the way I've thought about it.
Yeah.
Because they certainly do it against their will. Oh, but, well, to your point, the oath doesn't prevent them. It's not a barrier. Yeah. That's interesting.
Right. And, the oath has to do with their will. It has to do with their will. And if it's not their, like, so, I mean, obviously it's their discretion. So they're allowed to kill Shadowspawn, but it's their discretion on who Shadowspawn is. It's not like they have to go dig a test or something like that to figure out who the Shadowspawn is before they can use the one power.
Yeah.
Or who a dark friend, they can use against dark friends. It's just that it's up to, it's, there's subjectiveness to the O's. Yeah. And then also, yeah, good point, Rafo.
Okay. but these white cloaks are clearly not, you know, Black Swan, and so, like, how is it superseding?
But these Aes Sedai that have the IDOMs on them, have we yet to see one of them be like, yeah, bigger blast and smiling, but like, gotcha, fucker.
But they're like,
no, they're so very reluctant, almost depressed, like closing their eyes as their hands come up. And
Are they though? Like, yes, you're right. It is the will of the person holding the bracelet being put on the person with the choker, but the person in the choker also has a willingness to please the person with the bracelet. So yeah, they pat
was it Thera on the head, and she looks up and is
she's like, hi,
like a yeah, dog, thank like thank you. For
her so it is her will in that moment to please.
But I think at that point they're psychologically so broken down. I mean, Stockholm syndrome. It's just you want to please your captors. Like, it's like you are completely torn apart. There's actually a name for it. It's called Stockholm syndrome. It's literally a psychology thing when you're broken down that far.
I think
it's hard for us that have never had it to relate to.
I think there's really nothing.
Like, oh, I would never do that until you've been tortured and
3 O's are BS.
Well, the only person
that I think that in this three that can probably even relate closely to it would be Ian and Sears training, but that's
I was actually going to reference my almost 10 years of marriage. I mean, we laugh, but if we had a moment to have a serious conversation, like, Alan, you knew me before I got married. I think our friendship was able to be rekindled because you didn't know me towards the end. It was, man, I was just, man, not the same person. And anyways, maybe not exactly the same, but man.
Yeah.
I think there's some.
Yeah. So, yeah. So the door opens up and it's the Shan Shan soldiers wearing their insect helmets.
Talking like they at the, you know, that Circle K gas station down in Little Alabama. You know what I'm saying? They got all the power, but they be
with the slur, words, talking with the slur. Slur.
Actually, no, it ain't that fast talking. Kind of like I'm saying, they ain't in no kind of rush, you know, when they be talking. I'm like, hey, now you thought you was in charge, but you ain't. Now I am. I'm in charge.
All right. So it takes them down to the main audience chamber where we get to meet get to hang out with a character that we've already met before, which is Lady Suroth. We haven't seen her since I think the Great Hunt, because she was in the with Egwene when she got captured, and with the horn and all that stuff like that. She's one of the high ladies of
More importantly, I have a question here. Is she the one that does the sexy dancing, or does she order somebody to do the sexy
dancing? The demonic.
She orders the demonic.
She orders a single serving of sexy dance.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Normally it's appreciated, you know, in a six pack or a 10 piece.
Right.
She ordered a single serving sexy dance. Okay.
Right. Correct. And
that's important in this chapter. I don't want us to skip over that.
Yeah, but she tells Margaze a lot about the Shan Shan and the Empress. May she live forever.
Don't treat her badly. She's a queen. We need her. Like, she kind of butters her up in the beginning. Like, You know, yeah. It'll make you
but
feel
Morghese
good.
Also you're catches clean. On very early that a lot of this is an act.
Yeah.
Like she's still being set up. They're still trying to manipulate her and the other people in the room. So, yes, they're giving some respect to Morghese, but Morghese, it's
Queen of Andor.
It's all part of the game they're playing with her.
Okay. Yeah. So just to clarify, not Domane. So Domane are from Air Doman, and they're
Domane.
Are the people, yeah, like the money.
See, whenever I hear Domani, I think of Doman, which is Domansky. And that's a whole nother story. Who, by the way, is having a kid.
What?
A child.
What? Okay.
Procreate.
Offline, we'll talk.
Yeah.
Later, we got to talk.
I'm excited about it, but it could also mean the end of the world.
It could.
This child will be indestructible.
Anyway, so continuing on, proceeds to tell her about how the Domani work and that Sanchins have taken over Terrabon and intend to do the same with Amadicia by taking the Forces of Light and everything like that. Marquez is like, Terrabon's divided anyway. You can't control that. Like, you have no chance against the rest of the nations. We're all bound together and you can't control us. So, yeah, your words are just, you know, you went for the small potatoes. You don't know what you're getting yourself into. And she's like, oh, did I? You know the patriarch, Amethera? Yeah. You see the girl dancing over there? And we're guys like,
recognize her?
Shit.
Say your name. Who's the master?
So, Chris, this is part of what I thought was going through Morghese's head when she was like, fuck
no
it.
Name.
The queendom is going to my daughter, and I'm going to jump out this window. She's like, I'm not going to become that. I'm nobody's fucking puppet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which actually I have a tad bit of respect for, you know, if those are your only options.
Too, don't get me wrong.
Yeah. And she also learns that.
Well, she's beautiful. I might belly dance for her, but.
One of the Domani as well is a former Aes Sedai that's revealed as well. And Morghese just can't wrap her head around it. Like, how can you do this? And she can't wrap her head about owning people. Like, that the idea of slavery is so foreign to her, and you know, like, yeah, we'll just buy another slave or, you know, another person that will own property, and she's disgusted by it, but she's trying to like play it off because she doesn't want to piss them off because obviously they're in control right now.
If we're gonna give Morghese credit for anything throughout this book and here, it's her ability to hold her cards to her chest. She never shows her hand. Mm-hmm. That's a very valuable technique in extremely difficult situations like this.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's not trying to piss them off. I think it's don't reveal anything.
Right.
You know, keep them guessing. Don't let them know where you stand and how you feel and what you think.
Yeah.
And you got to maintain some advantage, even if it's.
And Seroth even, like, you know, tells Morghese, like, hey, if you just swear the oaths to the Empress, may she live forever. That, you know, you can continue to rule Andor like as a
something. Hey man, you know, you got that Kingdom Andor where you like you in charge of that shit. Man, you can have it. You just gotta say some words, you know, just Hamdi Domni. You like our people, you know, and it's yours. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You have it.
Are they Cajun now?
The direct descendants of the great Otter Hawkwind.
Man, got
shown that Louisiana talk now.
By the way, don't forget the Lopar. Like, those just seem like interesting creatures.
Yeah, the Lopar. What do you think about them? Little cat-like creatures.
Big as a bear, but hairless, and it just sounds disgusting. But you know, at the same time, cool. I'd own one. I'd try to ride it.
Yeah.
So, Chris, these odd creatures, are they here just because the Sanchin they're from a place so far away and there just hasn't been opportunity now for any of these creatures to come into this part of the world?
Have you seen Stranger Things?
Well, the next question is, or do we think it's some kind of rift?
Have you seen Stranger Things?
Remember when there were like flicker moments and like when Rand was in that different place where...
There's Grom.
The Grom were and everything. Like, did the Sanchin and what happened there and the Otter Hawkwind going out there, was there some sort of rift where different realities were overlap for a time period where these creatures were able to come across?
They're Demogorgon.
Demodogs.
They are Demodogs.
And Demogorg.
Yeah. So they haven't said much recently, but there is actually a Twitter account called Grom. And he just responds to everything and replies to everything with Grom. Grom, 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 Grom.
I like it.
It's great.
Are they the things with three eyes?
Yeah.
And you got to hit the center one?
Mm-hmm.
That's how you take them out?
Yeah, that's how you take them out. Anyways. So, yeah. Well, Margates refuses to take the oath, but like in a very political way. And Saroth just dismisses her. Like, all right, well, I don't have time for you then. Like, it just ignores her. Like, you're free to go. Bye.
Like, wait a minute now. Margates, you trying to tell me you don't like Buc-ee's? Buc-ee's ain't gonna place with me? Man, because we all, if you say you like Buc-ee's, then you good. But if you don't, then man, get this girl out of here. She don't like no Buc-ee's. I don't want to talk to her.
But you just getting the first Buc-ee's.
There's a Buc-ee's coming to New Kent.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
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 I'm excited.
Get around Buc-ee's. Anyway.
Yeah, just like flat out, I will speak to you again tomorrow or perhaps the next day if I have time. She said, but you will pledge. You will pledge the oath, like, period. You have no choice. Like, it's coming. And Margaze is like, out of there.
Yeah. Yep. So any thoughts about this before Margaze goes back to her room? Because we've already knew a lot about the Shanchen.
Like, why? They just pop up out of nowhere. Like, we had them. They were doing big things. They went away, and now they're back with a vengeance.
They are the direct descendants of Archer Hawkwing. And, like, Margaze is like, yeah, we all are. Like, what's your point?
We're like, the direct descendants. Like, okay, sure, okay. Whatever. But
it's like all the royalty in Europe. Like, yeah, we're all descendants of Charlemagne. Like, what are you trying to say? Like,
I want to see the battle between the Aiel and the Shanchen.
Mm. Like, who do you think would win?
Shanchen, you got to show me how Aiel can handle the skies.
Yeah,
I've yet to see that.
Air dominance is a major thing.
Either massive air defense or air superiority. You got to have one of the two or both.
And the seas, they have two out of the three.
That's right. If they do all the fighting in the water, the Aiel ain't gonna win that one.
Yeah, no. And then they have demidogs and demogorgons and
right.
Dragons.
To your point of them kind of coming out of nowhere here, I did not get the feeling the first time we saw them and they were, air quotes, defeated, that this was the type of group of people that would get their ass whooped, home, and be like,
they were coming back.
Right. Like, they were going to look at this and be like, well, that was fucked up. What did we learn from it? Let's just keep going.
Yeah, but the first force they sent was like the exploratory force. Like, right. It wasn't like a full on invasion. It's like, what's over there?
They'll take just a couple over. Dudes. Hey, look, mm-hmm. Zul's here. Hey, Zul, we love you.
Yeah. Hi, Zul.
But no, yeah. Like, it was seriously one of those moments. Like, that, though, what we said just a minute ago, the first group was the exploratory group, they wreaked some major havoc and really brought a lot out of Rand. They'll really bring him to himself, even.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
but everything Rand didn't even make them like pause. It didn't even put a little chink in their resolve. It didn't change their mentality. I mean,
he beat their blade master,
right?
And you know, they realized they we have one formidable guy, but you know, he is what he is. Like, we'll beat him.
Keep on keeping on,
right?
Yeah. And how many freaking chokers do they have?
Well, if they got somebody, if they have somebody like Elaine that has the ability to make them, they can make almost an infinite.
But Elaine hasn't even perfected how to make them.
Yeah, no. They've got a lot of time focused just on this task. I'm sure
true.
Yeah, they've got to have somebody.
I mean, if you only have one job, you can get really good at that job. Sometimes
I've only got one job and.
I take that statement back now.
very good
at it.
You had one job.
I have the ability to be good at it. I just don't care anymore.
Yeah. There you go. Hey, fuck it. It's what gets you through life.
I've been promoted three times with fuck it. Like now I'm wondering, should I actually work hard where they like try to keep me where I'm at because I'm helping them out?
Yeah.
I didn't think
I don't know if that's worth it. I mean, I can look at what I'm doing objectively, and I feel like I'm doing enough that you can't get rid of me. I mean, it's going to cost you a lot to replace me, but am I going to work extra hard? Are you going to pay me more? No? Well, yeah. No, I'm good.
Yeah. Summer Gaze comes back to her room, and she's weighing two options. She can surrender to Deshaun Shen and let her help him take over Andor, or she can just jump off the balcony and end it and take the leverage away from Seroth.
Well, let's talk about the real teaser. What's the title of the chapter? Is it Unbreakable Oath or the
Irrevocable Words?
Irrevocable Words.
And she speaks them.
So, right. But up until the point she does, I was actually thinking that she was just going to say, F it. I'm going to do this oath to Deshaun Shen and figure it out later.
Mm-hmm.
I actually got caught off guard. Pleasant surprise, but I got caught off guard that she's like, actually, fuck it, I'll pass the queendom to Elaine.
My daughter. Right.
And I'm
and so it. I was kind of mixed. So I thought
you do look maybe mixed. I didn't want to bring it up, but
yeah, guys, if you didn't know, I'm part black.
Oh shit!
Got that swirl going on.
This is our number one procreator. Anyway. But quite literally, like, I thought she was like gonna draft up a real nice letter and give it to Lenny and say, look, I need you to get this out, get the word spread, you know, and then go and be like, hey, yeah, sure, I'll work with you. But in the meantime, Lenny, who they don't know anything about, like, leaves. Like, she gets away. That was my hope.
That's your hope? Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Instead, she says the words, under the light, I relinquish the high seat of the House of Trakand to Elaine Trakand. Under the light, I renounce the Rose Crown and abdicate the Lion Throne to Elaine. High seat of House Trakand. Under the light, I submit myself to Elaine of Andor, her obedient subject.
Which, like, nobody heard it, so did it really happen?
Yes, words are important. Words have meaning, and the spoken word is important.
Mm-hmm.
So her intent was. If a
tree falls in the woods and nobody's near, it does make a sound.
Yes.
Well, more importantly, sound or no sound, the tree fell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there was still an action.
How do you know the tree fell?
Because
you weren't there to see it fall.
How do you? Because it became part of the earth again, and then more trees grew from it. I've seen the picture. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And apparently they're very like particular about the type of toilet paper they use. They want that Charmin fresh.
I wonder quilted. What a bear dropping would look like.
I've seen.
Oh, I've seen. Yeah, I'll say. Yeah. I could show you.
I can show.
Well, black bear.
Yeah. If you're hiking with me, Ian, I'll show you some bear scat.
Yeah.
You can find it everywhere.
Yep. Yep. It's a little funky because they do eat a fair amount of meat, but it's also riddled with seeds because and they berries. Love berries and fruit.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Of course, it depends exactly on where you're at and what's available, but yeah. they're opportunistic.
Yeah. I don't like seeing bear scat when I'm hiking. That means there's a bear nearby, and I don't like hiking when there's a bear nearby.
If it's really dry, you could be like, no big deal. If that shit is still steaming, you get a little nervous.
Or if you see mountain lion tracks when you're hiking, and
people that listen to this podcast from the beginning, you're probably sick of hearing certain stories over and over again. But I tell people about our camping trip with the youth tent when we're the only ones on the mountain and the horrible weather and the snow, and then going back down and seeing the mountain lion prints following our footsteps. Like, I tell people about that all the time.
Like, yeah. We went back the next day and we're going through the snow, and there had been a snow that we marched through the day before, and we're walking back our same tracks, and they had
nobody else came up, so it was just our tracks. Just
our tracks, and you saw mountain lion tracks. That's not cool.
What's funny is probably it was probably a good thing that the two of us were huddled closely together like that. If we were like in two separate tents or something, I'd have woke up and there'd be like Alan's ear on the ground and that's it. Like, well, bro, what happened?
What happened was,
anyways, that was a great trip. We had such a good time, and without knowing it, we nearly died so many times.
Yes.
Didn't even know it. Anywho.
Anyways, so so she does the wards. Lenny and Brian don't hear. And then you know, when they when she realizes that she's thinking about suicide, they begin to bicker about everything. But that's
Lenny's like, get over here, you foolish girl. I'm paraphrasing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then Balwer walks in. If you remember Balwer, he was Pedro Niles' secretary. That was kind of the guy that had all the numbers and everything like that. And you know, he,
our very calculating friend.
Yeah, he came in and he's pretty much like, I can help you guys. And they're like,
this is the shit that really gets me. Let me just say, I have to say it. I'm just gonna beat us to the punch. The fact that this worked. It's got to be a setup, but it's probably not. Knowing Jordan, it's not. Like, these people were just that confident. And what they
there's no Taviran in this group.
If you want to talk about character comparisons, I mean, Balwer's kind of like a Littlefinger type character from Game of Thrones.
Opportunistic. You know, whatever decision like you know plays to his advantage at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like,
especially gonna have to have a little
there. So going back to this, like, it's just like, I'm gonna get you out of here. Well, we got guards. Well, they're gonna have to run into an accident. With a smile, he pulls out his dagger, opens the door.
I do shank, accidents.
Shank,
nudge, nudge.
And then all of a sudden, they're like literally riding horses out of the freaking town. Like, how does? That looks good. You've been working out.
Sorry, I just saw myself in the video. I'm not trying to be like all full of myself. I mean, like, I've done one workout 2 days ago, but I am feeling it. There's still like, a nugget there.
Good, yeah.
That's still a nugget. Sorry.
I'm starting to get a little bit back myself, but you're that's impressive.
I did my curls tonight.
I know, me too. Look, for having done weights just about my whole life, this is the longest I've been without doing any sort of real workout, like over a year now. And I did a small workout with River the other day in our garage with the old weights I got. All the muscle groups I was trying to work out, they feel fine. All the supporting muscles, like that balance the weights and everything in my shoulders and my joints, they are fucked up.
Yeah.
Like I'm taking so much Motrin, it's not even funny. But I can't let them know I hurt myself. You're
using the wrong stuff, man. You got to get that CBD and just.
I can't.
Not even the topical? That stuff works.
With a prescription, I can submit it to. So not on the reserve side, not at all. On the government side, if I have a prescription for that, I could submit it and get approved to use it.
Well, even for the creams, the topical
creams. Even for the creams, yep.
Wow.
Federal employees are not allowed to touch it at all. And it wouldn't matter. I'm not in a drug testing position, but with my security clearance, I have to occasionally do lie detector tests, and they will ask. And I'm some people say I'm a good liar, but ask my mom. I'm a shitty liar. Once you know my tells, I cannot lie. It's obvious.
It's the grin. It's all about the grin, guys.
I know. Even when I hold it, apparently my bottom lip will wiggle a little bit because I'm trying to hold it steady. Oh, these fuckers are on
my phone. Excuse me, I'll be back.
Anyway, Alan's just nodding, saying sure.
For this moment, I have a spray bottle ready. I'll be back.
Go spray that pussy.
Catch the camera.
get that pussy wet. Right. I'm sorry, Alan. You're trying your hardest to have a show tonight, and
that's okay. That's why we end this chapter.
I'm not in full derailment mode. It's not like I'm on the way of the leaf where I'm just trying to.
I've killed a whole bottle of wine already, so we're good.
You know what I realized?
What's that?
In a wine glass like this, if you pour it the way you're supposed to, like pour it to here, sure, you get about 4.5 glasses of wine. Mm-hmm. But if you fill the glass up, you barely get 2.
I know.
That's fucked up. I want 4 of these per bottle.
Yeah. Yeah.
You and your shoulder shrugs and your shirts.
Sure.
And your daffos. Drink and find out.
I drink and I know things. So while we wait for Chris, we can just go ahead and get right into next chapter with Perrin, right? Yeah. We can skip Chris out of that.
No, he's not excited about it at all.
No, not at all. Yeah. Are you coming to town this weekend?
Going to New York City.
That's right.
Otherwise I would.
Yeah. He thought about it for a second, like, maybe.
No, that's the I can't keep track of shit. I'd have to check my calendar. I have so many alarms set and calendar reminders to remind me of stuff because I can't hold stuff in my head anymore.
Yeah, I don't know how.
And I ask myself stupid questions. You asked me if I'm coming to town this weekend. Do you know what I asked myself inside my head? I said, what year is this? What the fuck does that have to do? What does that have to do with anything? How does that help?
What year is?
And the pause was because I answered myself and I was like, you stupid motherfucker. What I think you were just talking about what you're doing this weekend. Oh, yeah, that's right. New York City. Yeah, that's what that pause was.
Exactly. So chapter 27, to be alone.
It was a good chapter. Alone. Yes.
That was a great chapter. Yeah. Chapter 27 was fantastic.
Where you can find us for this week. At thewheelreads.com.
Yeah, right. As a matter of fact, you could go ahead because as much as of a parent chapter this was, it actually kind of sucked.
Okay.
Okay. We'll get into it. There's one part that I really enjoyed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chapter 27. We'll go in order
this time. Let me just say though, I'm sorry. I had to put it out there.
Are not to be alone. What's that?
I am a little bit of a neat freak.
Okay.
A little bit OCD. And the one thing I hate the most is the animal in my kitchen. So living in an apartment where it's open concept and the living room is the kitchen and there's very little square footage, I thought about getting a 3-bedroom apartment. I cannot spend $500 more for an extra 500 square feet. Cannot do it. Mm. Will not do it. And then we looked at rentals around here, but the price of rentals, like get out of here and get into something that's absolutely ridiculous.
Now's a bad time to make that move.
So anytime I catch these cats in my kitchen at this point, they can be on the floor.
Do you know Courtney and Flav? They went to see you? Courtney and Flav?
I do. I think I do, actually.
Okay, because they live in, right outside of Charlotte, in, starts with a G.
Gastonia.
Or Gaston?
Okay, Gastonia.
Yeah, Gastonia. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I need to hook up with them.
Yeah. Check with them, because they got a good deal in their house. Because he still works in the city. They live in Gaston. Yeah, anyway.
I'll have to look into that. But anyway, the point is, man, them cats, I'm telling you, we even put like this sticky tape on the daggone countertops, and they hate it. But Lily has discovered the one spot she can jump up onto and then maneuver in between the sticky tape stuff. Mm-hmm. So... Okay.
Yeah, we did that with our cat, because our cat used to go to the bathroom in all sorts of corners, so we put tinfoil down.
They love the freaking tinfoil. I tried that. Mm-hmm. They love it. Like, it's a game for them.
Exactly.
And then she lifts the freaking sticky tape. I'm like...
You got busted. You got broken cats.
So now,
chapter 27.
I spanked the cats. I'm sorry, y'all. I have to spank the cats. You know, you're not supposed to spank cats, but
no, not at all.
My cats get the spanking. Like, I don't care if you hate me or not. You will stay off my countertops where I cook my food.
My cat just gives me evil eyes. Anyway, mm-hmm. And then throw up all over the place.
They depend on me for food and water.
Yeah, chapter 27, to be alone.
See, this is why I like dogs. This is why I need wolves in my life.
Yeah. So Perrin is walking through the halls of Sun Palace after being ordered from Kyrian from Iran. And he's like, screw you. I do what I want.
Now, we had that moment where Rand and Perrin kind of had it out. Was this yet another moment, like a staged moment here?
So they had previously when they had this conversation, it was pretty serious. This was staged.
Yeah.
And they might have used their real,
because it sounded exactly the same. It's like he copy paste.
Right. But that's kind of smart. Let's build on a conflict we already have, make it believable.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're both drawing our lines in the sand. F you, you're cool, F you, I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
This was pretty smooth. But now we're spoiling it. Right now, they're yelling at each other.
And Randy uses the power and throws Perrin across the room. Like,
and breaks some ribs and everything. Like that, like for it to be a staged thing, Rand lost it a little bit.
But that's how you know it's staged, Chris.
Yeah.
Think about everything you've talked about and how you relate to Perrin.
Yeah.
And you, Chris, you're one of the nicest guys I've met, but I know for a fact I would never want to push you to your breaking point. I know that because I'm not dumb.
As Zul says, Perrin was yeeted.
Perrin got
yeeted. Yes.
So, Chris, if this was not staged, and even it was your best friend, and they chucked you across the room to the point where you felt a rib crack, how are you responding when you stand up?
Oh. I laugh when I hurt.
Right.
That's probably one of the scarier moments, is because I'd be like, is he laughing? And like, I'm one of those
because you let yourself go. Because the laugh is part of the, I don't have to hold back anymore.
Yeah, it's like, yes.
Now
it's,
I get to show you what ludicrous. I can do.
Yes. That's when D'Angelo comes out. I flip the end switch.
So Chris, this is Tyler Durden. Gets beat to a bloody pulp and just starts laughing. Like, you don't know where I've been.
Exactly. It is quite scary.
Yeah. No, clearly. Staged.
Okay.
Perrin didn't go through that and just suck it up.
Yeah. Anyway. Like, so Perrin leaves and he's not necessarily
bloody,
happy.
Like coming out of his mouth.
And Loyal comes out and is like, hey, Perrin, how are you? And he's like, I heard. Rancho, you like that.
No, it was more like ears up, ears instantly flat, like whole demeanor shifts down. He like, I still feel like it's cruel, but I get it that they didn't let him in on what's going on, but he would be the first to ruin it.
You just said why. He can't hide shit. Them ears are gonna tell on him. Mm-hmm. They probably thought about it. The parent was like, all right, when we do this, can I let Loyal know? And Rand was probably like, no, his ears give shit away. Like, even if he was trying to play it cool, the ears would tell on him.
You can't tell a lie. Like,
right. Yeah. But just as soon as it's safe to fill him in on it, please fill him in, because we all feel bad about this. But
that's why I'm sending him to the Steadings. Like, I'm going to give him a task to do too, to take his mind off all this.
Yeah.
Rand's not a dummy.
And Rand refuses to see men as well. He's like, I don't even want to see.
I see more of Loyal like a dog than I do a cat. So that's why he and Perrin get along so well. In the chat, somebody says like a big cuddly kitty. Nah.
Yeah.
Cats don't care enough.
Yeah, they don't care.
Big fluffy dog. Maybe a man could.
And I think Ian mentioned last episode, Miss Loyal. Where's Loyal at? Well, here's Loyal.
There he is.
And
25. What does he have with him? He has like his big books. Script or whatever, where he's been writing. Mm-hmm. I try to tell y'all, he just locks himself in a room and writes.
I was going to say, I don't know what he's more sad about. The fact that Perrin got told off. Perrin's like, well, it's okay. I'm just a blacksmith. I'm not anything more than that. And he's like, well, you and Fael could come with me. He said, but then again, I just don't know how I'm going to get this book done when Rand's sending us all away. Like, what's he more like upset about? The fact that he doesn't get to finish his book, or the fact that he's being sent away?
Yeah,
I guess it's one of the same, but he didn't feel. Does he feel worse for Perrin and how Perrin was treated? And yeah,
it would be neat to have, if not a full like Loyal chapter here, like a second.
We're gonna get some like full Loyal chapters though.
Yeah,
we know that's coming.
But when you think about it, if we had a Loyal section or a Loyal chapter here, he would be freaking out, and not outwardly he'd be mentioned about how, oh, I don't have time to finish my book. But you know he cares about Rand, and know he cares about Perrin and Fael.
Mm-hmm.
And if he saw this sort of like conflict going on, physical conflict and the banishment and everything, like he would be freaking the fuck out.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and on top of that, he's being sent around with one of the Ashaman.
Right. Like, yeah. All of this is... I think he'd be questioning. He's like, I know I wanted to be around the Teverian so I could write cool stories, but like this? It's getting pretty intense.
Yeah. Very. Well, after all this, Perrin saddles Stepper and he heads north to meet up with everyone else. Fael, Aram, the Tuversmen,
and Dael, right before the doorway closes, Berlane steps through.
Yeah.
She's also there.
Well, that's when they make the gateway. But yeah, first he goes up there. I guess they had that whole conversation with Fael, and there's also two Aes Sedai with them.
I hate the fact that Fael is so, what's the word? The way she is towards Perrin bothers me. And I know that we've had this conversation before about how this relationship is somewhat, I don't want to keep using the word toxic. Like, I was listening to something the other day and they're like, we use the word toxic all the time. It's the buzzword and yada, yada, yada. And so, I mean, it is a toxic relationship to some extent. I mean, it's the one that they've chosen to be in.
And
they operate in it well.
I don't like toxic. I know you said you don't like it. I don't like toxic here. I like it's a tad immature.
Yeah.
They're both very young. They still haven't figured out the ways of their world. But also, we've talked about the cultural relativism.
Yes. And this is what her culture is all about.
We saw her mom and dad, and there were things unique about how they interacted that, you know, doesn't vibe with Perrin and the way he was raised.
Are we going to normalize this type of behavior, though? I mean, I guess they have, and it works for them and their culture, so we have to accept it. But
plus, she has a belly full of pups, and it's wreaking havoc on her hormones. And I'm not saying that's an excuse to be a certain way, but
we don't know that for sure yet. That's the thought.
I'm confident.
Yeah,
there's pups.
I mean, everybody's having babies these days.
Eight of them.
I'm not anymore. I'm done.
I shouldn't be able to, but hey, God's
you
will.
Never know.
You know, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone asked me the other day. You got some battle buddies still hanging out there.
Someone asked me about the other day. It's like, you guys gonna have a fourth? I was like, if we do, got some explaining to do.
Fael's pregnant. She may or may not really be. We got people in the chat going, wait, what? What did we miss?
Yeah, no. They think everybody's pregnant. It's all good. Right. So
it's a time. Her and Avienda, maybe even Egwene through the dream sex. Who knows?
I would love to see that happen. But yes, yeah, everyone's cool.
They got a dream baby.
So anyway, so they all gather, they open a gateway. Yeah, then Berlane steps through. Fael also brings several Kyrianans and Tyrian youths who are pretending to be Aiel. I'm sure the Aiel love that.
That's their favorite.
Yeah.
He's gotta be hating himself for Berlane being there. Like, he cannot catch a break.
Yeah.
I don't feel like he totally hates Berlane. He hates the tension that Berlane brings. Because of the assumptions that are made about what he might feel or think about her and the problems it causes with Fael.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they even talk about when Berlane comes through and he's talking about what people's roles are going to be. Yeah. And when he talks about Berlane's role, he's like, and I know that that's just going to fucking piss Fael off.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Hey, there's one thing we skipped over that I really liked or thought was interesting. Okay. Grady.
Grady. Yeah.
His connection with his wife.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Her
name. That was really neat. Yeah. I was like
right now it hurts.
Right now it hurts. Like, do these male channelers have female warders?
Yeah, that's what they're doing. Yeah.
So, I mean, so this is his spouse, but we're talking about a bond.
I'm saying, he says we
learned how to do this trick. I mean, that they talk about that, you know, where we can still be with them more far away. Yeah. So same thing.
He's like, it's neat because we get to know exactly what's going on with them. And, you know, we know how they feel and what a relationship.
I haven't been near her in 6 months and I feel like I have crabs. I don't get it.
My belly feels so swollen, man.
Yeah,
right.
All right, that's messed up.
We're a little immature.
It happens too often for it to be funny, actually.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Going on a after they get there, you know, Perrin goes up kind of on a hill so everyone can hear him and tells everyone that as far back, everyone as far back as Kyren knows, this the following has happened. You know, he's been banished. Everyone thinks Berylene's been sent home, and the rest of them simply disappeared. And that's the story we're sticking to it. But where we really are is we're in Gilliden. And we have two missions.
Messina, Jacuzzi.
Back row of the movies. Convincing the queen of Gilliden, Alejandra, to that they are not invaders, and then to take care of Messina.
Yeah. That's going to turn out horribly for him. I have a bad feeling about this.
The Messina thing is going to be the problem.
I really do. As much as I love Perrin, like, this is that moment where I'm like, do we lose any of our... I mean, we can't lose Perrin because he's part of the stool, you know? He's one of the three legs that keeps things
the
up.
Tripod.
So, the tripod. Mm-hmm. Like, but we could lose Fael, or we could lose... We can lose
I worry about the losing Fael, because there's so much that Perrin has been able to absorb and put up with that from his perspective chapters we know he disagrees with. But losing Fael, Perrin would snap. And as much as I don't want that to happen, as a reader and wanting this story to get spicy.
And we keep talking about Matt becoming.
So you would like a storyline or a story arc where something happens to Fael and Perrin snaps?
I intentionally went and didn't say it out loud because I can't say it out loud.
Because then you would get dogged in the chat. No kidding.
Right. Yeah, I'm not trying to get dog piled on.
Like, we're okay with Matt becoming the evildoer. Like, it's just natural. Matt's meant to become an evildoer, but what if?
What if Perrin loses his shit?
Yes. Like, we've had
and
this then,
and that would be the thing that would, that'd be the thing to make him lose his shit.
It would be.
Yeah.
Kind of like save her life if you join the dark side and I can save her life thing. And
Nynaeve is Anakin.
Okay. Anyways, not Perrin. Got it.
Fiddler of the Seven Cities.
We established that to go dark. Halfway through Eye of the World.
Yeah,
Perrin goes feral. Yes, that like,
yeah, like the instincts that he hasn't even fully recognized of the wolf side of him come out, and goes full wolf.
Just full wolf.
Damn. Like, and he joins
the Watcher.
Whatever it takes to get us there, I'm okay with that happening.
Yeah,
I won't cry in those scenes.
He joins the Watcher, and then they're like. Trumping around the dreamscape, and we know that they can travel through Talon Riad now. Like,
Hopper's there with him.
He walks different ways, and he finds the other colony of wolfmen. And if this doesn't happen, I need a fan fiction about it.
Mm-hmm. There's a good spinoff there.
Okay.
The ultimate. Cool.
Yeah.
The one where Rand loses.
And Perrin really hopes that everything's going to go smoothly, which you can take the Morgan Freeman narrator.
This is exactly when things were not going to go smoothly.
It was at that moment he knew
he realized.
Hey, do you remember way back in the day when we first ran into Messina and we got the hints of him becoming a fanatic?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we were like, this is going to be a problem.
Yes, we're here
this
now.
This type of fanatic that just runs so far in the wrong direction with it, always. And
yeah, we're here now.
I'm already feeling that he's run so far that it doesn't matter that Perrin is like, hey, I'm Rand's best friend. No. I'm the dragon's
I'm
best
on
friend.
Orders of
you, he could of Rand. Be Rand himself.
He could be Rand himself. And Messina will be like, no.
You're the like, false dragon.
We have the rules on parchment now, and the parchment says, you know. He's like, no, but I'm the actual dragon. You're like, well, you can't be because the parchment says different. So off with your head. Like this.
Yeah.
This guy's could be a big problem.
Yeah. Yes.
It was going to be the best. It was going to be the best Beltane ever.
Best Beltane ever. That's perfect.
exactly.
And Michelle started out as a nobody. He was just lowly ranked soldier, right? Or
yeah,
he just saw the power and went, drops everything. This is it. Yeah. This is what I'm dedicating my life to. And I'm going to make it up as I go. I'm not actually going to talk to the source. And
he was charismatic. Right there. Charisma is a bitch. He's like the fourth Taviren.
Yeah.
Got the gift of gab.
Yeah.
The gift of dumb.
Yeah.
Perry can't catch a break. This man just wants to go home and open his forge back up, have a couple pups, argue with his wife every other night, have great makeup sex, and go to sleep.
They do need to get past that. Mm-hmm. As much as people talk about how great makeup sex is, you know, like the intentional, like
I've never had makeup sex.
Good relationship, like communicating properly, appreciating one another. We haven't
had that argument yet.
Yeah. Good time. You're 18 weeks in, man.
And Alan's not suggesting it's going to be something big. You might leave the toilet seat up. You might.
You leave a sock on the floor, man. Drawer. Come on.
I'm the neat freak, so.
I was going to say, maybe she puts the.
She left the sock on the floor.
You're wrong. Yeah. You know, the shirt that's next to the laundry bin, but not in the laundry bin.
Yeah. Well, that is true. What a Hawk Ozzy. That makeup sex does beat makeup sex. That's true. Well, sometimes. I don't know. It depends on the situation.
Because then you just don't care. Then you just let it rip.
If a safe word has already been established before both, the breakup could be a little more intense.
Yeah. I said pineapple.
Pineapple.
Yeah. Now what? What? Yeah. So at the very end, Perrin just wants to distance himself from both Fael and Barrelane. He wants to stay far away and just, which is, you know, not communicating and distancing yourself when there's tensions are high. It's always a sound way to make things better.
Oh,
there's Perrin there.
Perrin is about to set himself up, and none of the three know it yet. But Perrin says something, and internally you get the feeling you get the feeling that both Barrelane and Fael have the same thought about him making a bad decision, because they have the same look at their face, and they happen to make eye contact when they're making the same look, and they're both like ugh. They quickly look away and recognize that, like, I can't
they agree with each other
for a moment. I agreed with her. If these two become besties, and parents on the outside, that is trouble.
Weed in the water.
Swing low.
Sweet champion. He'll be praying loud.
Yep. The moment the two of them are talking and he comes around the corner, sees them talking, and he goes, oh shit, oh no, this is going to be horrible. And then they start laughing. And they start laughing and look at him and then laugh harder. Like, then he's fucked.
Yeah. Pretty much.
There's no way to there's no way to get out of that one.
Yeah. Did your dog hear my dog barking?
That's when he goes,
feral. Rest. Come here. Come on.
I wish I could do that and the, the cats would come. But
I mean, I can do that with my dog, but my door's closed.
He got a haircut. He looks cute again. Yes.
I'm the handsome boy.
He said two good puppers. And he got his nails clipped. And he's all cute and pretty.
What is our spoiler rating? You can spoil me as much as you want, big boy.
Yeah, right. Quick, before somebody stops you, tell us everything.
Barrelane.
All the way. There you go.
Jesse.
That's Jesse.
Oh, look.
Say hi. Can you say hi?
That gray coming in.
Oh, she does. She's getting an old girl.
Oh, she's a good dog.
She is a fantastic cuddler.
She is. Yeah. She loves you.
And she gets in the perfect position. I'll sit on Alan's couch, not even realizing she got on the couch. and then go to rest my arm, and there's like a perfect dog armrest right next to me.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
She just gets She's in like, the spot why are you there? And waits.
Just scratch my head.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, yeah, now I got the puppers.
We're done with the chapter, y'all. We're now show and telling animalism. We could have ended this podcast 5 minutes ago, but
we could have. We could have. But we got through favorite character first. Who was your favorite character?
Who was your favorite character? The Sean Chen King.
Who, me? Tom Hanks.
No. Basil Gill. There's a fucking bird. There's a bird out there. And they're like, what? He's like, haven't you heard? And they're like, heard what? Ba 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 bird bird bird.
There it is. The bird 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 bird. See, you should have got the gif set up for that.
Haven't you heard?
Bird is the word. So what's our Littlefinger name? What's his name again?
Bauer.
Yeah. That he's gonna be my favorite character this go around because he capitalized on a moment and managed to get more gays out of the city. Like, again, we didn't even talk about that because it's just so unbelievable. Like, we mentioned it, but I'm still in disbelief that he literally just like shanked two people and walked out the front gates. Nobody stopped this from happening. Part of me thinks this is a setup and they wanted it to happen that way they could let him get a certain distance out and then snatch him back up. Like, just imagine you're riding these old horses down the dirt road. You think you're free, and shadow comes over top of you, and then you look up, and it bird, 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 and it swoops down and scoops you up, and it takes you back. That would be devastating. At that point, you do nothing more than bend the knee.
Yeah.
So
you know, it's not going to happen that way.
But
still, one of my favorite nights ever is calling your sister Ian. I called your sister. We're at the Admirals game. And I went outside and I called your sister and I was like, and she's like, what's going on? I was like, oh, you haven't heard? And she goes, what did Ian do now? I was like, you haven't heard? And she's like, no, what? I was like, oh, you haven't heard. Is Ian in jail? I was like, no. I think I heard a F you and a bunch of obscenities and then hung up on me.
I think my favorite part is anybody that knows me knows my family. Yeah, the assumption is, what do you do now?
Yeah, what do you do now?
What do you do now? I ain't got no bail money. That's pretty good.
Good times. Favorite character, Balwar, and yours was Basil Gill.
Yeah,
cool. Mine was you know what, Lenny. I like Lenny.
She was okay here.
Lenny's always cute.
To be determined. Let's see where this Morgay story goes, because it's possible the best option for her was to jump. We still don't know. Not jumping was the answer.
Yeah,
that's a good one too. The small loyal moment. You can't sleep on loyal. I mean, even if it's a small moment.
No.
Nah. Using his axe as like a cane, a walking stick.
Yeah.
That's kind of smooth. That was
pretty dope, though. Yeah. By the way, I forgot to mention also this week I started I read The Black Prism by Brent Weeks. Now I'm starting to listen to it, and it's brought the story to life in a different way. So it's like reading a new book. I've been enjoying that since I have to put a pause on the other book that I'm reading.
Yep. Okay. Cool. So next time on The Way Reads, we're doing 3 chapters, 1, 2, 3, and I apologize in advance on the cliffhanger that I'm about to leave you guys on, but it's important because the chapter after that, we're going to do a live reaction to, so sorry.
Are we about to get like 4 or 5 really good chapters in a row then?
They're going to have some good stuff.
I think three are going to be straight. These three are going to be 100% build up, and we're going to be left wanting.
We're going to get a whole loyal
chapter.
Your apology is not accepted.
Waygate
gets to a place and goes right into a wedding chapter.
It is what's happening, and we're doing 3 chapters, and then we're going to do a live Royals getting for our married, y'all. Woo! So those chapter titles for 28, 29, and 30 are Bread and Cheese.
Which I saw the icon for that. So this is a Matt chapter.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
The Festival of Birds.
Basil Gill.
And
yo, the Sean Chen are about to lay down law somewhere.
About to show up in force.
Yeah. And the first cup. The first cup.
Is that what's pouring out of the bowl? Like, do you like take a cup and scoop it in the bowl and then pour clouds over the map and then rain happens?
Yeah. So next Tuesday night we'll be doing those three chapters. If you're listening to when the podcast comes out next Tuesday, you'll get to hear it. So yeah.
Well,
that's the idea. So good luck, guys. And I'm sorry in advance. Not really. Sorry, not sorry.
Unforgiven in advance.
We haven't done this in a while, so let's look at the icons.
That looks like icons. Okay, so you got nice festival birds.
The dragon's fang.
And then snakes in a box.
Ooh.
Dick in a box.
What did we say that was for? The snakes in the box?
The serpent twist around square. I don't know. Or first the shadow.
We've had it before.
Yeah. The shadow.
Yeah.
So we're reacting to 31. We are 100% reacting to chapter 31.
What is chapter 31?
We'll get there. Okay. It's a little time symbol. And do not read, because we're doing a live reaction.
So, Chris, we might be onto something. One of my army buddies that has read the series a few times, he's finally caught up to us, and he said our recent insight into Nynaeve and her struggles with her emotions is, he didn't quite say spot on, but he kind of gave a thumbs up on that. Mm. And he mentioned how either you or I said something about like her emotional problems and, you know, her being not being able to channel only when she's angry, blah, blah. Apparently we got something close to right somewhere in there, because he said he died laughing when Alan dropped his shirt. So somewhere in there we got a sure, like we nailed it, but yeah, I don't know which sure and where.
Okay,
no,
somewhere
I feel like we got something about
Nynaeve. And we do have guests next week, because next week is going to be just a little for next week. We'll do it again when we cover these chapters, but just
for a little prequel,
we're going to be covering very sensitive topics next. So, listener discretion advice next week. It's going to be very, very sensitive. We do have guests on, Dragonmount is coming on. So we have, Tom from Dragonmount and Kathy, and Zul, I think, is going to try to come on as well. I believe that's the idea and plan. And they're going to be sensitive topics we're going to be discussing. And
do we have to be adult like next weekend?
Part of it, yeah. It's a pretty. This is probably one of the most hated parts of the Wheel of Time.
Oh man,
For a good reason. But at the same time, it's important to talk about.
I will try to come into this in the most adult like fashion as I can. But
that's what she said.
So we'll get that. So next week, our listener discretion advice, our viewer discretion advice, for watching us on YouTube. So how have you found is at thewheelreads.com. It's where you find links to everything, all the good stuff like social media, our merchandise, which we do have a baby onesie line. I cannot stress that enough. If you know someone that's expecting, because we talk about preggers all the time on the show, we have baby onesies, and they are adorable and awesome. And so we have a picture of a sailboat. It says just left Tarvalen, which is just wonderful, because if you know, you know.
Wait, can I get that on an adult size t-shirt?
Seriously?
As a matter of fact, I might go buy some merch.
How big do those onesies get?
This kid.
I will wear that.
Go check out our merchandise. Go buy some onesies or some shot glasses, mugs, t-shirts, all the good stuff. Also support us on Patreon. We greatly appreciate it. It lets me do things like buy hardcover books like these chunky monsters to give away to people. Because I like to give away lots of different color books, and I buy them all now for me and for giveaways. So
are you telling me you diversified your portfolio?
I got three different cover versions of the Eye of the World now. So it's four if you include paperback.
Investment.
Hold on. I have four or five copies of the Eye of the World. I'm giving away though. Some of these are being shipped out this week. I swear I'm going to ship them out this week. I'd be going forgetting to do it. But yeah, so yeah, follow us, support us. That's all I got.
Until next time.
Peace.
Oops. Okay, bye.
I hope you enjoyed the show, and thank you for listening to The Wheel Reads. See y'all next time.